Welcome to the Goddess Divine podcast. Join me as I unveil the stories of goddesses from across time and cultures. We will dive deep into the archetypes and energies that these goddesses embody, and we'll explore the practical applications of goddess wisdom in our daily lives. We'll discuss how to connect with the divine feminine through rituals, meditation, creative expression, and acts of conscious living. Whether you're a seasoned practitioner of goddess spirituality or just beginning your journey, this podcast is for you. Hi, lovely people. Welcome back to the Goddess Divine podcast. Today's episode is going to be all about goddess archetypes. And I was wondering, when you started this show or even prior to this show, have you ever felt drawn to a specific goddess or some sort of mythological figure? I don't know, maybe you kind of admire the wisdom that comes from the goddess Athena and the Hellenic pantheon. Maybe you resonate with Artemis and her independence, or you connect with Aphrodite's creativity and sexuality and sensuality, even though there's a lot more to her than that. Today, we're going to be diving into the world of goddess archetypes, and we're going to explore how they can guide us on our journeys of self-discovery. How do we define archetypes? Archetypes are universal symbols. They're patterns or they're motifs that appear across cultures, myths, literature, and human experiences. These symbolic representations, they're deeply ingrained in the collective unconscious, and I think most of you are familiar with that term. It's a concept that's been introduced by the psychologist Carl Jung. I think we've seen this term utilized everywhere, so you're probably more familiar with it than I might be. Archetypes, they do embody fundamental human characteristics, our emotions, and themes, and they serve as templates or models that shape our understanding of the world and ourselves. So I want to just give you some key points about archetypes in general. Number one, archetypes, they are recurring symbols or patterns that are found in these myths, stories, dreams, and even cultural beliefs worldwide. They transcend individual cultures and time periods, reflecting common human experiences and themes. So again, not necessarily specific to only one culture. They transcend individual cultures. Number two, so according to Carl Jung, the collective unconscious is the shared reservoir of ancestral memories, instincts, and experiences that all humans inherit. Archetypes arise from this collective unconscious and influence our thoughts, behaviors, and our perceptions. Archetypes manifest as patterns of behavior, roles, or motifs that people instinctively recognize and understand. So, for example, the hero archetype represents bravery, self-sacrifice, and overcoming adversity, while we have the mother archetype, who symbolizes nurturing, protection, and fertility. So as I'm giving you these examples, you're probably thinking, well, what archetype am I, right? What do I symbolize? You're probably already analyzing this in your own head. We'll get to that shortly. Also, archetypes have psychological and spiritual significance. They provide insights into human nature, our motivations, and our aspirations. They help individuals make sense of very complex emotions, relationships, and life transitions. So some common archetypes include the hero, which if we look at the tarot, we have the hero's journey, right? We have the mentor, we have the trickster, the lover, the sage, the warrior, and many others. And we do see these archetypes appearing in myths, legends, fairy tales, and religious narratives, and they're all playing essential roles in storytelling and symbolism. I also wanted to add here that archetypes can influence both personal development and collective cultural identity. They do shape how individuals perceive themselves, how they perceive others, and the world around them, which contributes to the formation of values, beliefs, and societal norms. Now, goddess archetypes, they're quite powerful. They are multifaceted symbols representing various aspects of the feminine principle. They do exist across cultures and mythologies, and they offer a diverse tapestry of characteristics and expressions. I wanted to share with you today some prominent goddess archetypes and their definitions. So the first one I wanted to address was the creatrix. And this archetype, it does embody creation. It embodies fertility, and it's that life-giving energy. Some of these examples could be, or could include, I would say Isis, which comes from the Egyptian pantheon. We have Gaia, who's Greek. We have Brigid, who's Celtic. And I think the creatrix symbolizes potential, right? It's new beginnings and the power to manifest dreams. So the one thing I also wanted to include is that I suspect as I'm doing this episode today, I'm going to start getting messages or hearing words, because as I'm doing this now, I'm already feeling a spirit coming forward. I don't know who's here. I could ask, but yes, I just heard, I haven't got the name, but I know what type of presence. So I just wanted to give you that side note that I might be getting additional details and adding those unexpectedly throughout this episode today, because one of the best things that happens when I'm doing some of these or creating some of these episodes, and it's unexpected, somebody will come forward, a deity, a guide, an angel, to try to help me out or give additional details or, you know, just add things that they think are beneficial for your awareness. So just a side note there. All right, let's move to the maiden, right? This is another prominent goddess archetype. So the maiden does represent innocence, purity, and youthful potential. I would also say that this archetype does embody new beginnings, exploration, and self-discovery. So here we have the Greek goddess Artemis. We could also put Ischel, who is Mayan, right? The maiden encourages embracing curiosity, embracing your freedom, and personal growth. I would also put Persephone in, you know, as the maiden as well. This is the archetype of the eternal girl who doesn't commit to anyone or anything, because making a decision means eliminating other choices. Now, it's interesting, you know, I do think that Persephone, if you're not familiar with the story of Persephone, there's a lot to say, and I'll be doing my own episode on her, okay? But remember that she's the daughter of Demeter in the Greek pantheon, and she's kidnapped by Hades, and she eats the pomegranate, and she ends up staying in the underworld for half the year, and then returns back above ground with her mother for the second half of the year. Anyway, that's a very, very short synopsis of her story. But I do think that parts of her fall into the maiden archetype, and Persephone archetypes are adaptable, but they do need to learn to make commitments, right? If not, they do find themselves being submitted to the will of others. And in addition, Persephone does symbolize receptivity and intuition. She's a quite vulnerable goddess, but I think she can fall into the maiden, but I think she also falls into other archetypes, and I'm going to talk about that as well. The next archetype would be the mother. And of course, this archetype represents nurturing, compassion, and unconditional love. Who do we see in this archetype? The Greek goddess Demeter. We see Cybele or Cybele. We see Tonantzin, right? She's from the Aztec pantheon. And she embodies providing care, building supportive communities, and fostering emotional growth. So just a little synopsis here of, let's go to Demeter. So she's the mother, right? She's, I would say that she was a luminous figure in the Hellenic pantheon who fertilized and made everything around her grow and develop. These archetypes, the mother, they're sensitive. They help others and they're generous. And they're very nurturing. They welcome others under their wing. On the other hand, they tend to create and nurture bonds of dependency. So, you know, with these archetypes, one thing I didn't tackle was there are kind of like shadow aspects, if you want to call that, of the archetypes as well. Because, you know, sometimes they can have darker aspects, as all things do. I'll just put it that way. The next archetype would be the huntress or the warrior. And this archetype symbolizes independence, courage, and assertiveness. And it also embodies taking action, pursuing goals, and navigating challenges. And again, we find Artemis here. We find Durga, who's Hindu. We find Skadi, who is Norse. And this archetype encourages self-reliance, setting boundaries, and pursuing dreams with strength. Apologies about the airplane. I live near an airport, so you know, these planes are always my nemesis, if you want to call it that. A little bit about Artemis here, and again, she's Greek, and in the Roman pantheon, she's called Diana. So Artemis is widely known and widely accepted as being the warrior. She was a virgin goddess who represented autonomy and defiance. We could say that her archetypes, this archetype does correspond to the kinds of women who challenge masculine power, so perhaps embodying the feminists, but they also keep their emotional distance. This makes them, in a way, a little bit of a hermit, makes them a little bit inaccessible, but they do make great friends and sisters to other women, but sometimes maintain these very tense relationships with men. Under the huntress and the warrior, we also could classify Athena, who is known as a strategist, right? She's very wise, but she does focus on strategy, but she's also a warrior. And she's also another virgin goddess who challenged, I would say, masculine power, even though some people would say, oh, she's not a girl's girl. And we'll get to her. We will get to her during season one. I'm excited to do a very deep dive into her since she came to me and has told me, you know, that I'm similar, which is very interesting. But anyway, her archetype represents mental ability, calculation, shrewdness, and at times maybe a lack of empathy. Again, hence the not being a girl's girl, right? These women who are warriors or huntresses, they're practical and they're realistic. Reminds me of being a Virgo, or at least an earth sign. I do think out of all of the feminine archetypes, the huntress, the warrior, is the closest one to masculinity. Ambition and success tend to dominate them, and they do have tremendous abilities to establish alliances with men. So as I'm kind of going through some of these, I'm sure you're already asking yourself whether or not these categories are fluid, or are they quite strict and we only fall into one? These are really good questions to kind of think about as I'm kind of attacking some of these today. And as you're going to hear shortly, I don't think the categories are strict. I think that we embody multiple archetypes throughout our lives, and sometimes a couple at the same time, depending on what's going on in our lives. For example, for me, and I feel like I'm having deja vu as I'm talking to you guys right now, so I feel really strange, but Artemis is somebody who I embody in a multitude of ways in my life, in the situations that I've been in, and the lessons that I've had to learn. But personality-wise, probably to a certain degree, and Athena as well. So I don't think that, you know, these categories or these box, you know, that we fall into just one camp or the other, one archetype or the other. I think that we're always learning to embody, and we're learning to, you know, what the teachable lessons are from these archetypes. And perhaps the situations in our lives are because we do need to learn whatever lesson is associated with becoming or transitioning from being, you know, the maiden into a mother. There are lessons associated with those transitional points in life. So I think that studying these archetypes are super helpful, even for those reasons. Like, how do I overcome certain obstacles, right? How do I become more independent? How can I experience more liberation? Or are you learning lessons of self-reliance at this point in life where nobody's willing to help you no matter who you ask, right? Well, to me, that's a clear indication that, okay, this lesson at this portion of my life is going to focus on me pulling myself up by the bootstraps and finding the necessary resources independently of mom, dad, sister, brother, whomever is in your life. Okay, let's go to the Enchantress. So the Enchantress as an archetype does embody seduction, attraction, and magnetism. Some of these examples can include, of course, our go-to person is always who? Aphrodite, Freya, and Hathor. So as the Enchantress, she encourages embracing one's sensuality, creativity, and the power of influence. Let's talk about Aphrodite, because Aphrodite is known to be the Enchantress, even though she is way more than that, and she does way more than that. And again, I'm going to do subsequent episodes on all of these goddesses and get their take on what they do and what, you know, what their offering is and what their specialties are. But, you know, when we categorize them sometimes like this, we do reduce their inherent powers and their inherent, the inherent ways that they service humanity. But Aphrodite, in this sense, she kind of falls into the enchantress archetype. But I do see her as an alchemical goddess. Her essential trait was creativity, or is creativity. And Aphrodite archetypes are sensual. They love beauty. You know, they are emotional, even though I think every archetype, you know, is emotional in its own way. But they do want to improve reality, to make it more pleasant, to make it more beautiful, and they do know how to enjoy life. On the negative side, they can be a little bit volatile. They can be a little bit impulsive as well. Let's go to the queen. So the queen represents leadership. It represents wisdom and justice. And this archetype embodies taking charge, making decisions, and creating order. So here we find Hera, who's in the Greek pantheon. We find Sekhmet, Egyptian, Inanna, who is Sumerian. And this archetype encourages responsibility, standing up for what's right, and using power wisely. And I'm going to jump in here a little bit about the goddess Hera, since this is who I work with very, very closely, unexpectedly, to be honest with you, as I think I kind of told you. If not, we'll get into this during her episode. But she is a goddess who represents the queen, because she is the queen of the gods, right? Her archetype is extremely emotional and sensitive. And I would say that the queen, they have a great capacity to establish close and passionate bonds with men. They're usually dominated, unfortunately, by anger, jealousy, and a thirst for revenge. But they are extremely loyal. I do think the queen gets a bad rap. I do think sometimes when we kind of classify the queen a little bit with her shadow aspects as being angry or jealous, I think there's way more to it than reducing it down to those character traits or those emotional outbursts or behaviors. I mean, they're extremely loyal, and there's a lot to be said for that. Next, we have the crone, who symbolizes wisdom, transformation, and endings, right? This archetype does embody acceptance, releasing what no longer serves you, and embracing change. Whenever I think of the crone, I think about transitional periods of life. I think about death and rebirth, for the most part. So some of the examples we have here, we have Hecate, of course. In ancient Greek, we have the Morrigan, who's Celtic. We have Ischel, who's Mayan as well. And the crone does encourage introspection, letting go, and finding meaning in endings. So again, this whole idea of transitions and change, usually experiencing darker moments or shadow aspects in life. I feel like that's what the crone embodies, but that's not all she embodies. One goddess who embodies the crone, we could say, is Hestia, who is the wise woman. So unlike Athena, Hestia possessed an intelligence expressed as wisdom and not as strategy. Hestia archetypes are sensitive and intuitive. They are lonely by nature, but they're non-materialistic. The crone, you know, these types of women, they enjoy spirituality and they do undergo enriching introspective processes. The Hestia archetype, I guess I could argue, does represent the spiritual essence of a woman. And again, you may want to reclassify or recategorize Hestia under, I don't know, a different type of archetype. Some people, you know, might even put her as the mother, but I see her more as the crone, right? So one thing, I guess, the most important takeaway from this is that women carry all the female archetypes within them. You know, as a rule, one of them manifests itself more than others, usually during certain parts of your life. Nevertheless, you know, the dominant pattern, whichever one is the dominant in your life, it does change over time, and it has its own evolutionary process, right? So again, you could be embodying the creatrix at multiple stages of your life. You could be embodying the enchantress, if you want to call it that. I don't know if I like that term for an archetype, because there's kind of negative connotations associated with that. But you could be embodying, you know, learning how to re-love yourself or love yourself at different points in your life cycle, right? So everything always comes back around again. Now, as in all archetypes, each one has a light side and a dark side that I was inferring earlier. So the light side refers to its virtues, right? And the dark to a misrepresentation of them. They're not really formal psychological classifications. However, they do constitute a point of reference for reflection. A couple of additional archetypes to mention include the healer. So this includes healing, restoration, emotional intelligence. Here, we have Ischel, we have Hygieia, and there are many others. The healer also includes, and off the top of my head, we have Bridget, we have Isis, and somebody else whose name is not coming forward. We also have the mystic, whose archetype embodies intuition, connecting to the unknown, someone seeking spiritual truth. We have Hecate here, we have Caradwyn, we have Kuan Yin, that can be classified as the mystic, but we have others too, right? We have the artist, who's all about creativity, self-expression, bringing beauty to the world. Again, we can put Bridget here, we can also put Hathor here, we can put Saraswati here. The trickster, who's all about adaptability, resourcefulness, challenging the status quo. We have the goddess Eris here, which is an interesting goddess, and I can't wait to actually meet her if I get the chance and talk to her, because she's never painted in a good light, and I'm sure there are great qualities about her. Anyway, the weaver, interconnectedness, fate, weaving the tapestry of life. We have the fates here. We have Arachne. We have Neith here. We also have the wild woman as an archetype, somebody who has an untamed nature, primal instincts, connecting with the wilderness. Of course, we put Artemis here. We have Pele. We have another Mayan. God forgive me if this is not Mayan. Coatlicue. I hope that's correct. Coatlicue. We also have the visionary. Somebody who sees the future, someone who guides others, who has the gift of prophecy. We have Freya, Valeda, we have Cassandra, who falls into this camp, into this archetype. We also have the guardian, somebody who is a protector, who helps to set up boundaries, somebody who defends sacred spaces here. So the Dirge might fall into the guardian. Sekhmet certainly falls into this camp, as well as Kali. Now, I'm just giving you a very short list here, and of course, it's not exhaustive. And different interpretations and variations do exist. Many of the goddesses that I listed, and there are so many more goddesses I can't wait to get into, they do embody multiple archetypes, expressing different aspects throughout their stories and throughout their myths. That's also why it's important to get to know their stories and myths. How do you find your goddess archetype? I'm sure this is what you're thinking throughout this whole episode. Well, how do I know who I am, and how do I know where I fall? Well, the first way to go about this is through inner exploration. Reflect on your values and reflect on your own traits. So sit down and make a list of the qualities that you admire, both in yourself and in others. Do you value strength? Do you value creativity? Do you value wisdom, independence, or compassion? Certain qualities are going to resonate with specific goddess archetypes, of course. Next, we have dreams and intuition. Pay attention to recurring themes or powerful female figures in your dreams. These are going to offer clues to your subconscious connection with the particular archetype. So you might be, let's say as an example, you may have a recurring dream about, I don't know, a warrior, being a warrior, right? Or being, I'm just trying to think of another archetype here. Let's just stick with the warrior for today. Being a warrior or a huntress, right? That means most likely the archetype that you're embodying at that time would be the huntress, would be, you know, somebody like an Artemis. Journaling can also help you identify which goddess archetype you are most like at this moment. So you can journal just about yourself, any insights, you know, about how you have reacted in certain situations in life. What was the natural response? And what I mean is, are you a fight or flight person sometimes, right, to certain situations? Are you extremely vocal? What is, you know, what, again, what traits are very, do you think are very valuable in life? For me, I'll just give you an example here. It's very important for me to see women be independent, and for me to see women become successful in their own way, but also to be authentic and speak their truth without any fear or hesitation. That's something that has been a recurring theme in my life, and I've been surrounded by people who've had a lot of those issues. So my goal has been to help women feel more comfortable in themselves to speak their truths without fear, without, you know, without the judgment, because there's always going to be judgment, without the fear of being judged, though, and to know that they carry everything that they need here to be successful, and that they too have the right to go after their dreams and do this without guilt or without subscribing to the, you know, subscribing to how society deems your worth, your value, or what the level of your contribution should be. So when I look at all of that, because those themes are recurring in my life, they're not only value or traits that I value, it's also situations that I've been in or I'm surrounded by, situations that have forced me to become a certain way or have taught me certain lessons, is probably a better way of putting it, that at major portions in my life, the recurring archetype that I have had to undergo or possess, or yes, I'm using the word embody a lot because I cannot think of a better substitute word, you guys. It has been Artemis time and time and time and time again. And I'm still in that archetype, even though a new archetype has stepped forward to help me with other things, because I'm at a transitional point in my life. So that is why Hera has stepped forward as well to help me with new things that I'm trying to figure out. I don't know if I'm doing a good job of it. But anyway, I think those are some ideas to reflect upon, some things to see in your life. Obviously, if you become a new mother, then yes, you are embodying the mother archetype and the lessons associated with that. And working with a goddess such as Demeter might be super helpful for you during this time. Okay. How else can you find your goddess archetype? Well, exploring mythology. I think that that's incredibly crucial, but exploring these goddesses, right? Learn about the goddesses from these various cultures and from their mythologies. Read about their stories, read about their symbols. See if anything resonates deeply with you on an emotional level. Some of their trials and tribulations, what they've been through, how they were mistreated, how people didn't take them seriously, right? How they were betrayed. Stories that resonate deeply within you connects you deeper to that goddess and to that archetype as well. I think there's a lot of resources online that you can find that teaches you already, that has all the information that you really need to learn about the goddess for the most part. But I do think it is valuable to sit down and read their stories and do some research on them, because as you are fully aware, some of the stories that were told are distorted. If you go back and do your own personal research on their origins, you'll see that perhaps the way we look at them today, or how we categorize them today, or define them today, was really not how they were worshipped. That there have been misrepresentations through time. So I think that's also why it's very important, especially if you really, really, really want to have a deep relationship with the goddess, you'll do the work. Okay. I also think, of course, guided meditations are incredibly helpful, right? They are designed, for the most part, or they should be designed to help you connect with your goddess or goddess archetype. And most of these are going to be very, they're going to involve visualization, or at least encountering some sort of symbols in some sort of way. So I think that's another way to figure out which goddess archetype is in your life at this moment. The other thing I want to say here is that it's important to remember there's no single answer, right? You might not identify with just one specific goddess archetype. You might embody a blend of several different archetypes, or your connection may shift over time. Of course, as you get older, it will shift depending on the lessons. And the journey matters. So the exploration or the process of exploring is just as valuable as finding a definitive answer. It's going to allow you to connect with the divine feminine within yourself and to kind of gain a deeper understanding of your own personality. You know, when, again, just to use myself as an example here, the various goddesses that stepped forward at the beginning, it's been very interesting to reflect upon that time and time again, because it has really taught me how I am seen. And I don't know how else to put that, because we have a way of perceiving ourselves, and sometimes it's quite distorted, right? But when we see the archetypes or the goddesses that step forward for us, sometimes, or maybe most of the time, they are a reflection of really who you are, at least at this juncture in your life, or what you've become up to this point. And to have seen that, okay, well, Artemis is really who I have become, and it makes the most sense for me because of the type of life that I've had. And not to get into too many details, you know, I think I've said this on the other show, you know, to grow up without a mother, to grow up without any support, to grow up without the nurturing aspects or that archetype in my life whatsoever. And yes, essentially to grow up without any support or help has taught me independence and self-reliance to the nth degree. And that's something I deeply value in life as well, because it has taught me so much, and I see how it can help women in general and the power of independence. And feeling free and liberated, right? Once you know that you can stand on your own two feet and do it for yourself. So there are so many things I've learned from that. So what I'm trying to say here is that that is how I am seen from their realm. And, you know, truly, it's also just kind of nice to know, right? I don't know if I'm seen as a vicious tyrant. I certainly hope not. But if somebody were to come forward like that, I would have to do some deep self-reflection to see what needs healing. You know what I mean? So I do think that, yes, finding your goddess or seeing which goddess steps forward is, you know, they're there for a multitude of reasons, okay? They're there usually to teach you, to help you. They're mentors, they're teachers, they're guides. That's what they do. And that's their overarching goal anyway. Okay, I'm just going off on a tangent here. The other thing I always want to just say, just be mindful and respectful to the culture that you're learning about. Always look at reputable sources. Don't just take everybody's word for it. Your journey is going to be different with these goddesses and these archetypes, if you will, even different than what I have experienced. You know, it's our soul's journey, and your lessons are different from mine, and the people in your life are different from mine, and your trials and tribulations differ from mine as well. But these goddesses, they see you, they hear you, and they do want to step forward to help. You know, this is a time of revival. I feel like I just got that word. This revival, I should just say that, because it's not essentially new. It's new for us today, but the divine feminine has been hidden for so long, or it has been forced to take a back seat for such a long period of time, and all of the characteristics and all of the energy that it embodies, it is now becoming present. I would say it's been coming present for about 20 years. So not necessarily brand new, but it is here to help, and it is a way to learn and be that is opposed to the dominant way of being and thinking and acting here, right? So it's very heart-centered. It's here to assist in assist in man's upgrade, which is very interesting, in the evolutionary process. I also just heard that as well, so I'm just going to let them speak. But that is their overarching goal, is to help humanity evolve. Therefore, they are stepping forward to help guide you. So do not think in any kind of way, they are insistent upon this, so make sure you hear what I'm saying, that is their overarching goal, is to help humanity evolve to a state of awakening at this moment. There we go. And I just heard dialing up. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just giving you what I hear. Sometimes that really happens, okay? So it really is their goal. And everybody, no matter where you come from, what you've done or where you've been through, you know, there is no, you will not be turned away. I'll put it that way. You will not be turned away on this journey. You will be embraced. In terms of identifying who to work with and why, we will get to that because there is a lot to say around that appropriately. Okay. I'm trying to see if there was anything else that I wanted to say that I haven't already said because we've already spoke about, you know, connecting with your archetype. It can highlight certain talents or aspects of yourself that you haven't even fully explored yet. And sometimes I think that even that in itself can motivate you to develop new skills, expand your potential, give you the support that you didn't know you needed to do things. It can help you find inspiration. I think sometimes that these goddess myths and stories, they do offer very rich narratives of courage, resilience, overcoming challenges. And I think that those can act as a source of inspiration for navigating your own life's journey, right? I also think that the process of finding your archetype can lead you to pay closer attention to your intuition and your inner knowing. And this can be a very valuable tool for you because it can help you make decisions and navigate life's uncertainties. I think the last couple of things I'm going to add here are just that connecting with a goddess archetype, it really can help you to identify the qualities that you value the most in yourself and in others. And I do think that this self-reflection can lead you to greater awareness and a stronger sense of purpose here. And I think goddesses also, they embody powerful aspects of the feminine. So discovering your archetype can help you connect with your own inner strength and empower you to express yourself more authentically. Lastly, we know that some goddesses do represent the untamed aspects of femininity, like rage or destruction. And by exploring these so-called dark goddess archetypes, and I'm going to do an entire episode on the dark goddesses, okay? By doing this, you can confront your shadow aspects and integrate them for greater wholeness. So I really hope that today's talk on archetypes has been helpful. Again, finding your goddess archetype is not about fitting into a rigid box. It's a fluid process of self-discovery, and it allows you to connect with the multifaceted aspects of your inner feminine energy. So by embracing this type of exploration, you can gain valuable insights about yourself, your values, and your potential for growth. All right, everybody, I hope today's talk has been super helpful for you. As always, please take care of yourselves, and until next time, have a great week ahead. Yeah.